This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Cardinal Nation, welcome to the next show of Two Birds on a Bat. Host here for the day right now, at least for the meantime, Steve-O. And coming to you on the M4 by Yachty hotline, the other host, Benji Molina. BMO, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, man? You sound so good right now, Steve-O. Hey, man, I like you, man. I like you. Hey, I can't wait to be out there in a Cardinal Nation, man, and see the season start, man. It's a couple of days away.
Well, let me tell you what, you're going to want to wait because it's like still cold here, and I want to get into that a little bit. But first and foremost, what's the deal? Every time I open up Facebook, you got a little motivational quote there, and then all of a sudden it's like a picture of you in the swimming pool. Why do you have to rub that in our face?
You know what? I feel really bad about it, man. I'm going to have to stop that. I told you, man. I feel really bad. I didn't notice. I thought I was a really nice-looking, hairy guy out there on the pool. But holy Moses. A lot of people don't like that. Like you said, man, hey, how's St. Louis weather right now? Like what is the temperature?
It is in the high 30s, low 40s, and it's just cloudy and rainy. It's going to rain for the next 2 weeks. I mean, I don't know if the sun's going to come out.
Ah, man, I see why they're hating on me. Hey, man, I'm stopping that. I ain't posting anything with the swimming pool. I might post something with the snow.
Okay.
Hey, how's that? Maybe the snow.
Well, I mean, Cardinal Nation needs to get prepared for this cold weather as the Redbirds will eventually be here in town. But let me ask you about that. You're leaving as a big leaguer, you're leaving Arizona or you're leaving Florida after, you know, 2 months of spring training, and you're going to head north and play these games in New York, Minnesota, Boston, all these outdoor cities and everything. And there's still a lot of those places are still, you know, predicting snow for the next couple of weeks. How do you guys, what is the mental focus or, you know, the mental approach that you take? Because I know playing, when you got a nice sunny day that was like perfect weather, it just gave you that much more energy to go out there and perform. How is it at the big league level when it's going to be one of these crappy days we got coming up?
Hey, you know what, Steve-O? Once you are on the last couple of days of spring training, you don't care if it's snowing. You don't care if it's a typhoon going on and wherever you're going. You just want to head out the spring training area. You just want to get out and go do something over there, wherever you are. Like in this case, the Cardinals are going to Montreal. It's probably going to be snowing over there, and they got to get ready for that. But I bet you anything, they don't care. What they care about is getting out of Florida. Let's get this thing moving. Let's get the season going. Once you get out of Arizona or Florida, you know the season's about to start, man. It's like just a couple days away for the season to begin. So they're pretty excited. I got excited anytime I had a chance to leave Arizona or Florida. I got excited, man. I felt like I was like, okay, here we go. Here it is. The season's coming. and I got to get ready for it. I don't think they think so much about the weather because they know they have to play anyways. Even if they think about it, even if they like it, even if they don't like it, they still got to play. So they don't think about much about that, you know?
Really, really. That surprises me because it always bothered me. I mean, I get it when you're all juiced up and ready to go when the season starts. But, you know, when you get that cold weather and you need to hit, did you ever find yourself I hated playing in the cold weather, but I always thought I hit better in the cold weather, probably because I kept things simple and just tried to make sure I squared things up on the barrel. You know, so my swing was a little bit shorter. I wasn't trying to, you know, swing from the heels so much and get jammed. I always seemed to hit better in the cold, although I hated playing in the cold. How about you? Anything like that out there for you?
I think I'm just like you, but in a way, I never thought about the weather, right? Like, I never put it in my head. I never had it. I never thought about it, to tell you the truth. I knew it was cold as heck, but you know, when you really think about it, it's when you get jammed or when you hit the ball at the end of the bat and those fingers start ringing, you know, and somebody starts calling you without a phone.
Oh, yeah.
And then that's when you remember, dang, man, it's cold out here. But other than that, I if you ask me, man, I never thought about the cold. I knew I had to play, so I tried always to block it out and say, hey, listen, everybody else is out there. Why am I going to be complaining and saying that it's too cold? And we probably are saying in our heads, man, it's freezing out here. But you don't want to do that to yourself. At least I didn't have a chance to do that, Steve-O, because I was one of those guys that I didn't have five tools, so I had to be on my senses at all times. So I never allowed myself to do that. I tried to be always on top of it and never think about it, you know. I'm sure this is how most of the players are. They don't like to think about any of that, you know?
Well, I would attribute more of that to probably being a catcher. I mean, you got all that gear on. You probably hated the hot days more. But, man, you get the umpire who's snuggled up right next to you in the back, keeping you, you know, it's almost like body heat. You're on Survivor Island. Man, you get out there in the infield, and you got a pitcher that can't throw strikes, and you're trying to keep your hands warm, and the breeze always seems like it's hitting you. I couldn't get enough layers on, but, man, I hated playing in the cold.
No, you got a point there. I mean, you have a really good point because, obviously, I'm a catcher. I have all that stuff on me, but also I was moving at all time. Every pitch, it's like the pitcher. Probably the pitcher doesn't feel any call at all,
right?
Unless you call time out and the game slows down or something. But same with me. So, but I don't know about the infielders. I don't know about the outfielder, which I really do think that they probably freezing their butt off over there, you know, because like you said, they're standing there waiting for a pitch, waiting for a ball to be hit to them and stuff like that. So yeah, now that you mention it, I feel for the infield and outfielder. Before, I didn't feel for them, man. I was concentrated on my own, and I said, you know what? I'm good to go. Let's go. Let's get this thing going.
Now, when was it? Obviously, it was, you know, probably when you hit rookie ball and things like that. But what was it like the first time you had to play in the cold weather? Obviously, coming from Puerto Rico, you never had the freezing temperatures, the sleet. I mean, I was just talking to my mom and dad the other day, and my mom was trying to remember what game we played. She was at it. She goes, it was snowing, it was sleeting. I go, what game? Man, that was like the beginning of every season I had that. So what was it like the first time you had to go out in the cold and play?
You know what, Jim, I keep saying Jimbo and Steve, but Jimbo's not there. But, Steve-O, you know what, when I signed 1993, but I signed in June. So when I came to Arizona was 130, 120, 115. So I never experienced the cold, right? So I went back to Puerto Rico for, you know, just to hang out and stuff. And then I came back to Arizona. That was my first kind of freezing, because I know it's not freezing for you guys, but for me it was, because I like you said, I came from Puerto Rico and it was it's not cold at all over there. So that was my first kind of experience, about 60s and high 50s. So then they called me up to Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And that's when I really, really saw the coal over there. That's when I really, really became noticing the cold weather, man. Oh, my goodness. That was freezing cold. And plus, at that time, I stayed at a house with five older people, and I slept on the floor with no blankets and no pillow in a house, you know. We didn't have anything. We didn't have any sofas. We didn't have anything. I just slept on the floor. I took a jacket from the stadium to be my blanket. So it was freezing, freezing cold. And that was my first experience. And I said, what is this, man? He's got mad at us? Something, you know, what's going on, man? But it was crazy because in that year, we won the championship. And we had to overcome so many things, especially me, when I didn't know how to catch. And then here I am in the middle of a playoff and in the middle of a run with the cold that I never experienced, and then facing my brother for the playoff. I mean, it was really, really crazy, man. So those are big things. 1994 was a big year for me.
I hear you there. So this is probably going to be my last weather question, but give me the worst weather. What game sticks out in your head as far as like conditions you had to play in that you're like, holy crap, baseball isn't meant to be played like this?
I think it had to be in San Francisco because the Toronto weather was bad, but Toronto was indoors, so we didn't never had a trouble there. But San Francisco, it had to be the one that it was kind of it looked like it was gonna rain. It drizzled a little bit, you know, it rained a little bit, and then the fog came in and covered the whole field. And it was freezing for real. It was like low 50s. That was. For me, I mean, I played in cold weather places, but there were domes, like Minnesota, there were domes, and in Seattle, it's freezing, but it's dome, so they close it out. But the main one that sticks to me is in San Francisco when those clouds go down, man, and it's freezing, and then you have to go out there and perform and stuff like that. But I would say San Francisco, man, it's crazy.
Yeah. I agree with you as far as like the weather out there in San Fran. I remember being out there. I spent like 2 months out there at one point doing some promotional stuff. And we would go, you know, during the day we were out working. And I mean, you're in, you know, a short sleeve shirt and shorts and flip flops. And then if you went to I went to several Giants games out there. And it was nice. And you would actually have to get in jeans and long underwear. And you were sweating. And a big coat, because once that sun went down and the fog rolled in, it was just one of those colds, those damp, wet cold that would just get you to the bone. So,
oh, yeah.
Hated San Francisco at that, yeah. You know, for the night games like that. But
You know what, Steve-O? I never hated the weather there. I loved it. And you know why? Because my body stays fresh. And
okay.
Remember, I used to catch a lot, you know, so... whenever I caught, I mean, that weather helped me so much. That's why I have another appreciation for Yadi, what he's doing, and whoever plays in the hot weather like St. Louis in the summer. I don't know how the heck he does it. I don't know how he keeps going day in and day out without having a rest, because when I played in Anaheim, it got a little hot, you know, it got a little hot, and I could, hey, when I got traded from San Francisco to Texas, bro, holy crap, man, Texas was like 105 every day. We went from sleeve and jacket to hit with shorts and BP. I mean, and all of a sudden, my body couldn't function. I was like, holy crap, man, and here comes the 17th inning, and they look like I play a doubleheader. It felt like it, and I mean, I don't know how Yadi does it. I really don't. I think he's really in a good shape, and he's showing everybody that, but holy Moses, man, when it's hot, it's crazy, and you have to change your shirt every single time, every three innings. You have to go inside, change your shirt. It's really tough. A lot of people don't think about this stuff. A lot of people think that we're robots and we're supposed to go out there and perform, but they don't see the elements. They don't see what's going on in the personal life. They don't see what's going on with the weather, if you're sick or not. So it's crazy, man.
Yeah, and that's why I brought that up. And you bring up an interesting point about Yadi and being here in the Midwest in St. Louis in the summertime. And a lot of our listeners will harken back to those days where Jack Buck and Mike Shannon used to talk about the temperature in Old Busch Stadium when they had the old turf on there, which was, you know, just, I mean, I don't understand how the guys even played on that stuff. But it would get up to like 125, 130 degrees at field temperature, which was unbelievable. And I always kind of joke about, you know, my idol, Ozzie Smith. He was probably, you know, 6'4", 225. But because he had to play on that turf, he ended up 5'10", 180. So just shrunk him down. But that
it's
is
great.
The hot weather. I don't know. I mean, I guess being in St. Louis and growing up playing ball here, I was just used to it. You know, give me the 105 degree day, I'll make do with that. But just keep me out of the cold. Hate it.
No, I love that. I love the hot weather. But the only thing I love about the cold weather is that keep my body fresh, you know. So I love that part. And I came to know that. And when I played in San Francisco, I could play more games. I was like, wow, I'm fresh. The next day, I'm like, holy crap, I could do this. And that's when I figured, I said, man, cold weathers are nice. And then Anaheim was nice. You know, Anaheim was very nice weather all year round. So, you know, I had fun there. But once I got to Texas, man, holy Moses, that was hot. And it was really, really, really difficult. Your hands are sweaty at all times and couldn't grab a bat. Sometimes you couldn't even grab the ball to throw because you're sweating so much.
Wow.
And those things are really, really true. So I don't know how Yadi does it, man. I tip my hat to him for all those games he plays, man.
Well, off the weather, and now we're getting ready to go. We got a couple of games up against Toronto to finish off spring training, and then we're going to head over and face the Mets to kick off the season here. I think we've, you know, I kind of joke around with Jimbo all the time about, you know, the show seems to get stagnant over the offseason because we continue to talk about almost the same things. What's this guy going to do? What's that guy going to do? Who's going to make it? Free agents. You know, it seems like it's the same show over and over and over, and we've been waiting for this time of year to look at things. And lo and behold, the thing that we were all complaining about last week or the week before and the week before is a starting rotation. Now we see Adam Wainwright's going to be on the shelf with a hamstring, and our man Jack Flaherty is going to step in. So excited about that, are you?
I'm excited. I'm excited to see Jack Flaherty. Of course, I never thought he should have gone down myself, but I said that in the last show. But anyways, when he went down, you know, that's why they didn't trade him. That's exactly why. If something like this happened, he was right at the doorsteps, you know, and he is. Now he's going to step into the rotation, maybe two starts. He's going to show us what he can do. He's going to hopefully keep the high end of spring training, what he did. He did good. So hopefully he shows that, hey, man, I don't want to go anywhere. This is my chance. This is my spot. And here I am. Do something with it, you know. So I'm excited for it. I want to see it. I want to see that. I want to see a couple of other things.
Yeah, and that's the important thing to notate. I know we talked about, like I said, for the last couple of months, it's been, hey, are we giving these guys 4 weeks, 6 weeks until we, you know, see what we have with the starting rotation? And I kept harping on, there's going to be an injury. There always is. I mean, we don't live in a bubble. We don't live in a perfect world where these guys are going to be starting, you know, 32, 33 games and no time on the DL. We knew this was coming. We just didn't know when it was coming. And, you know, we're going to get a chance to see Flaherty right off the bat in the rotation. And I think Cardinal Nation thinks, hey, if this guy goes out and he pitches a couple of gems, that makes it even that much tougher, don't you think?
I think so. This sucks for Wainwright, actually. That's the one that sucks for, because he was about to show everybody in St. Louis that he's healthy and he was ready to go, and his arm is good. He looks good, and he was going to win some games for us. And all of a sudden, he has to wait and see what's going on, you know, like he with his injury. So that's the guy who's probably feeling the worst right now. But if you're Jack Flaherty, you're excited, you want to get going, you want to show these people, hey, listen, I'm here, I'm ready to go. So there's two sides of the coin, right? I mean, you don't want Wainwright to get hurt at all, in any moment. You need him. But when those things happen, there's another side of that coin, man. And when he flips, there's some other guys there ready to step in. And that could be – I always put the example of Bledsoe and Tom Brady to people because it's very true. When Bledsoe was dealing and he was having a great career in New England, all of a sudden he got hurt. And that kid that fell in was Tom Brady, and he became the best quarterback ever. So, I mean, it could happen, man. It could happen to anybody. You just don't hope for that. You hope that it's not like that, but it does happen, man. Now it's time for other kids to step up, like these kiddos that we have, Munoz and the new kids that make the club. Hey, listen, these kids made the club. You never know if they're going to go back down in the minor leagues, man. They could become a set piece for years. That's the whole thing. That's their chance. So I'm excited to see what we can do, man. I'm really excited about the bullpen. I want to see if they can throw up zeros out there. I want to see if they can hold up some leads. And that's what my biggest concern was. So I'm excited, man. I really am.
Well, let's talk about a couple of those new guys. I know you sent a text out about Munoz the other day, you know, making the roster. The one that I was really excited about, just because I'm a big fan of his dad's, is Pena. I mean, he comes out, makes a ball club, always did. I mean, St. Louis, I think, loves Tony Pena, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, I've never talked to anybody that disliked him. I think growing up, and you're probably the same way, Bimo, since we're about the same age, did you mimic Tony Pena's catching style with that one leg out and sitting down way down on your butt?
I think his passion. What do you think? I think his passion for the game is his passion when he played out there. He noticed. Everybody noticed that he was there. It wasn't just somebody out there that stood up there and cut the ball for the pitcher. It was somebody passionate. His passion is so crazy that whenever I talk about him, I always bring that up first. He wasn't a great hitter, but he was a good hitter, like good enough hitter to get you on at any time. But he was great with the pitching. He was a good communicator. The pitchers loved to throw to him. I mean, that's all you can. His kid is almost the same. I mean, it's not the same type of body, but he's a little better hitter than his dad was. And this kid is surprised. I mean, you know what, Steve-O? I think he should have made it no problem. The reason is not that Kelly is not good. The reason is that Kelly is good and needs to go play.
That's the reason.
The fans should get it right. The fans are thinking, oh, man, he should have made it. No. He should not made it because he's so good. He has to go out and play. He has to keep those skills better. He has to keep those skills going just in case when his shot come in, then he's ready to go. But that decision that they made of having Pena in, I mean, he can catch. And remember, Yadi's not going to have many days off, I guess, so you don't need him for that many games. But, man, he can catch. It's not a surprise for me that he made the club at all.
Okay, yeah. I mean, he had a good spring training here. What's his upside for Pena? I mean, what do you see? Is he a career backup guy? You think maybe there might be an opportunity skill set wise where obviously as Yadi moves away and Carson Kelly comes in, I mean, does Pena get an opportunity as a trade bait somewhere?
If you ever have a good backup guy that is set to be a backup no matter what, you better keep him because you're counting on your guy anyway. You're counting on Yadi, and then you have these good backups. And when Yadi leaves, you're counting on Kelly or Kinsler or Snitzer, one of those kids. And then all of a sudden, you have a backup that can catch. I mean, depending on how old he is, but I don't know. I don't exactly know his age. But if he's in the 29, 28.
Yeah, 28.
Yeah, I don't think that he's going to get a chance to be a number one guy after that age. It's not fair, but that's just how baseball goes. So if you have a backup like him and he's a good backup, you know, you should keep him. You should keep him and then give your guy a shot when Yadi leaves or or whoever's the number one in any team, whenever they leave, you give the, you give your prospects a chance, you know?
Good deal. Well, let's move on to your boy, Yairo. I think it's Yairo. And we just got a special guest that joined us in studio here today. Jimbo, what's happening, brother?
I'm special?
Special guest.
I'm not a guest.
You're not
I'm
a guest?
I'm just late. Hey, listen, I don't want to hear any shit coming from a guy that decides when he's going to come based on whether or not the Cowboys win or lose. All right, I don't need to hear that from you. Hey, what's up, BMO?
Hey, Jimbo, how's the doctor go? Did you check your prostate?
It wasn't me, bro. I didn't have to bend and cough or deal with Dr. Jellyfinger or nothing. No, nothing like that. I was with my son.
I gotta tell you my story about the prostate, but I don't think I have the guts to say it on the air, man.
I was gonna say we may have to save that one for a special occasion for Pete's sake. Put you like if we want to put you on the spot. So what I miss? Like what? I can't even imagine there's anything to talk about.
We talked about the weather. That's what we talked about for 20 minutes.
We may not play any baseball in St. Louis. They may have to. Hey, it's a good thing they're starting on the road.
Yeah. No, it's all right. It's all right. They'll be fine. Hey, we talk about the weather, Jack Flaherty. We talk about the backup guy making the team, Peña, and we were going to talk about Munoz, you know, but then somebody showed up and, you know, we didn't talk about
it. Here, I'll just sum this up real quick. How nice is it to have a guy like Flaherty available?
I mean, that's what we talked about.
Unbelievable. Just unreal.
We knew the injuries were going to happen, just didn't know when, and I know, Jim, you and I have talked about this off the air. I mean, is this going to be a killer to somebody else in rotation, namely Adam Wainwright, where if this guy comes in and deals two games, three games.
That's going to be – listen, that'll be a great problem to have. But I will say this, and this is – you know, most of the times – and I, you know, and I'm not reinventing the wheel here. I've heard numerous people say this, so it isn't like I think I'm special. In most situations, if you were to be breaking camp and were losing one of your veteran starters and a veteran reliever, you'd be going, holy shit. But in this instance, we're sitting here going, okay, yeah, it sucks for them, and everybody loves Waino, right? So, yeah, it stinks for Waino. For most of the fan base, and again, we're just fans, I don't know how I don't know that many people that were enamored with Luke Gregerson anyway, right? The Waino thing's going to be different. He's our guy. He's done a ton for the organization. He's owed $19 million. Stop short of Flaherty coming in here and throwing back-to-back no-hitters. Waino's going to get his chance back at the rotation. Now, we'll see what happens here. Two starts is going to be tough to gauge anybody on and say, oh, we give up on you, right? So, good or bad, I think it's great for Flaherty. And, again, great for Myers' kid, what he's done this spring. You know, again, it's a great thing. Am I enamored with Bud Norris making the team? No, I think he should be out. But I get
he made the team?
I believe so, yeah.
I told you before, remember, I said the money they gave him, they cannot say, okay, bye-bye, and then eat up that money. I told you, man. I mean, it's not fair for other pitchers that are there and they made the team that we felt they make the team. But it happens, man. When you sign these kids like $3-4 million, you're just eating it up, man, and you're not going to eat it up in this case. You're like, oh, heck no, I'm not going to say bye to that thing.
And let's face it, we're going to have a couple of weeks to see what happens with, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, a lot of times the bullpen thing will figure itself out. Guys doing okay, arms are tired, whatever. I mean, again, let's hope not, but sometimes that will figure itself out. It could be Norris that goes. I mean, who knows? But let's move on to your guy. I mean, you wanted to talk about Munoz. You know what? My favorite thing in spring training is always the guy that makes the club that you didn't expect. Is going to have that first time around the track here in St. Louis, feel the love from the fans, experience what it's like. I'm glad for him. I've saw some social media stuff, people upset about Bader. And let me tell you something. This is, I'm glad that Cardinal fans are attached to players and they love them and they appreciate everything they do. And Harrison Bader's no different. Here's a guy that's worked his ass off. He's played well. I mean, if you're Harrison Bader, you got to be going, what else do I have to do? But let me tell you how the reality of this thing works, folks. If you watched yesterday's game at all, you realize right now that nothing is guaranteed. Harrison Bader may not even – he may not be the better of the three guys that are down there that aren't going to make the team either in Garcia or Arizarena. I mean, don't forget O'Neill. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, there are no – I understand. And again, if I'm Harrison – but if I'm a Dallas – if I'm a Garcia, I'm saying the same thing. If I'm Arizarena, I'm saying the same thing. What else do I have to do? Well, guess what? This is how it works, okay? They're not going to – essentially, at the end of the day, the guy, I guess, would be Fowler. They're not going to sit Fowler, okay? This Jose Martinez thing, I mean, he may still get some starts in the outfield, but Munoz has played in the outfield. It isn't like the guy has not played out there. He's played out there quite a bit each year. Is he a true center fielder? No, but they can move – Fowler and Pham are interchangeable in center field. Now, whether or not you think Fowler's a good at center fielder is irrelevant to the conversation. The bottom line is you're talking about a guy that's not going to play much anyway, okay? And, again, for anybody that thinks it's easy to go sit on that bench, it's not. So, again, congratulations to him. He earned it.
Right, and the same thing with Munoz is the fact that you have to have a guy like that who's – in essence, he's a fifth outfielder, right? He's a bench player, and they probably want Bader to get more everyday play. So, I mean, it's no different than a Carson Kelly situation with that. So the kid earned it, and, you know, if there's an injury, does he get move up, or do they bring up one of the AAA guys to fill in? We don't know what their exact plans are for him. But he's going to go around the track in a week and a half and experience opening day here in St. Louis.
I think it sucks for Bader, but like you said with Kelly, Bader's kind of in that bubble. I mean, nobody wants to go down to the minor leagues and say, okay, I have to play. That's why they sent me down. Bull crap, right? You don't want to hear that. But in this case, it's true. In this case, he has to go down because he needs to play. He didn't make the club because he wasn't good enough. These kids are good enough to stay. It's just there's no spot for them, so they have to sit on the bench for days. Instead of doing that, they have to go play. But anyway, going back to Jairo Munoz, this kid can play all three positions in the infield, third base, short, second. And he can play all three positions in the outfield, a little bit above average, all of them. In the infield, he's really good. But in the outfield, a little bit above average, which that's the type of guy you need in the bench. At any moment, Curtin Wong is going to be pinch hit or lefty against lefty or whatever. You know, it's going to be pinch hit. Or maybe Jose Martinez is going to be pinch hit for a lefty bat off the bench. And then you know what? He needs to go step up and go play. Because remember, Garcia plays all three positions. Great Garcia. But he doesn't go in the outfield. This kid gives you an opportunity to have somebody in the bench at any moment to go play all eight positions, or maybe seven, I should say. But all seven positions, and you don't have even a problem with it because he's good. So I like this kid being in the roster. I love it. I think it's a great opportunity for him. I think it's a great deal for him. He's gonna help us a lot. I hate it for Kelly. I hate it for Bader. I think they need to go and show, you know, their skills down there and play. So that's my thought, I think.
Well, let me assure fans of this. If one of the outfielders was to get hurt, Harrison Bader, or well, let me say this, because I'm gonna ask you a question after I say this statement. Harrison Bader or Garcia or Arena, okay, one of those three, if one of our outfielders gets hurt, one of those guys is coming up and they're going to play, okay, because they're outfielders, okay? Now, if it's a day here, a day there, the whole reason of giving a day, I could see matchups where Jose Martinez goes out and plays left field one day. I could see matchups where Munoz goes out and plays left field one day or right field, depending on the lineup. My point is
that
if
– or days off early.
Sure. I'm talking about a day. But if a guy gets hurt and you need a guy to play for 2 weeks, they're going to go get a guy that plays outfield and he's going to play. That being said, I know we're talking about Bader, but it's not just Bader, because I'm going to ask you, Benji Molina. At one time, I'm sure you were very well thought. Did anybody promise you anything? Or if another catching prospect would have come along that was just as good as you and performed like you did, just like we had this spring training with these three outfielders, did anybody promise you anything? I mean, you got to – Harrison Bader's not going to be the first player that had a really good couple of years in the minors and did everything they asked him and went out and proved himself, and it just didn't work out for him. Hell, we got a guy in our – starting at first base for us that went through it for, what, 9 years in Kansas City?
Yes, sir. You hit it in the nose. Harrison Bader should never think he's the next guy up. I don't care what they tell him. You have two other, maybe three other guys right battling with you. And remember, he's going to be pissed off. He's going to be pissed off he got sent down. That's the first obstacle he's going to have to deal with himself.
Well, and he should be, and that's fine.
Oh, yeah. No, that's okay. Like I said, I mean, he should be because, you know, he had a feeling that he made it. That's fine. But if you go with that attitude to the minor leagues, you're already putting the other guy over you. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, you not only have to still compete with all those guys that are down there that might be better or might be doing better than you at that moment when you get the call, and not only that, you have to deal with yourself because you're mad as heck because you didn't make the club, and now you're going to the minor leagues. I don't want to be there. I know I made the club and things like that. So if I'm Harrison Bader, I'll be careful, man. I'll try to control myself, and you know what? Let's go at it. Let's keep this positive attitude out there, and hopefully, you know, I get the call later. But man, if he goes out there with a bad attitude, I don't know, man.
Oh, you know what? Listen, there's not one thing. To be honest, there's not anything I've ever heard nor seen, and I don't know the guy, and again, we only know what we know, right? There's nothing to make me believe that Harrison Bader is going to go down there and be all pissy and moany and be, oh, I don't want, you know. Listen, by all accounts, my guess would be is that Harrison Bader is going to go down there and do everything he's always done. So I don't want fans to think that we're sitting here saying Hader's going to go down there and be a bitch. I'm not saying that.
Yeah,
I don't think you are either.
No.
My point is, it's not an easy situation. Just put yourself in that situation. Use it in your everyday life. You've worked your ass off. You've done really well for somebody. There's an opportunity. It's right there for you to take. And for some reason, the way the roster works out, they decide that it's a better fit to go this way based on what they need. That need is simply Tommy Pham's in center and Dexter Fowler's in right, and they're going to find a way to get Jose Martinez's bat in the lineup every day. And that occasionally may mean Matt Carpenter might need to play some first base. So they certainly do not want to put him at first and take Jose Martinez out of the lineup. So I think you're going to find him playing a little bit outfield still. Now, again, I'm just guessing. Sure, and I'm just guessing. But again, this sucks for Harrison Bader. It sucks for all these guys. But guess what? They are not immune to this, folks. I know everybody feels bad about Carson Kelly, and we didn't do this, and we didn't do that, and Harrison Bader, and Greg Garcia doesn't deserve to be here. Let me tell you something about Greg Garcia, folks. You cannot like him. I'm not the biggest Greg Garcia fan, but you cannot ignore how well he has done off the bench. And that's his role. That is his role. This is a 25-man roster, and everybody has a role. Greg Garcia's role is to sit his ass on the bench and wait to be told, grab a bat, grab a glove. Guess what he has shown? Unlike a lot – listen, everybody just thinks it's a foregone conclusion that if you don't start, you just go sit your ass on the bench and you perform when called upon. It's not that easy. He has shown that he can do it. Now, what he also has shown is that if you start him for long stretches of time, he's overmatched. But in the role that they've asked him to do, he has shown he can do it. Now, everybody just wants to assume, just like I do, that Harrison Bader or Yaro Munoz, for that matter, are going to come in and just naturally fill that role off the bench. We don't know that yet. We're going to find out, but we don't know that. But we do know that Greg Garcia, Greg Garcia's got like 170 at-bats off the bench type thing, and he's got like a massive on-base percentage, and like a decent average, like a 271 average, and he can play all three infield positions and play them above average. Listen, folks, that doesn't grow on trees. You can think it does, but it does not.
No, you're exactly right, Jim, and I think all too often we're talking to people out there, much like what we did when we were coaching youth baseball together, where we just wanted to have 10 guys, maybe 11, because it's easier just to mix and match those guys in different positions on the field than to worry about guys on the bench. And when you got to a 12th guy on the bench, it drove us crazy, because how do you adjust that? This is just the opposite. These guys have to have bench players. They have to have role players. So it's opposite of anything that we used to go through with that Little League stuff.
I don't know. Like I said, listen, I have no issue with fans being passionate and loving all these guys and the opportunities and the things before them. I love it. That's what being a fan is. I love it. Okay, but we gotta keep things in perspective.
Separate. I really do believe, Jimbo and Steve-O, that we as fans, we need to learn how to separate. We need to learn how to separate being a fan of a kid or being realistic and say, okay, this guy gives us a better chance to win games at this point. And this guy goes down and play more like Bader and Kelly. They need to go down because they need to play more. They don't need to be in the bench sitting down wasting their days out there because they're not going to play so much. As fans, we need to understand and really, really understand to separate. Separate what's best, like I said, separate what's best for our club and separate what is best for the kiddo instead of being just a fan. I mean, I love Kelly, but if you ask me, I would have left him at third. Because I had Yadi there. I would have left him up third, and he was a pretty good damn freaking third baseman. And look at what we're looking for right these days.
Well,
if you really believe that he was a good third base and good player like you think he is, you're trying to put him over Yadi at this point. Why couldn't he stay at third? He was better at third baseman than he is a catcher.
Well, I can tell you why.
But I'm saying, but that's what I'm saying. Like, we need to... I'm a big fan of them. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Kelly. I love Bader. I love these kids. But once Jimbo and Steve-O, once it comes to winning games, and I'm trying to win the World Series, I'm not trying to just make the playoffs. I'm trying to win the damn World Series. I want a ring. So what I need to do is find myself of 25 best guys that I can that are going to help me out at that moment. And Bader and Kelly from the bench are not good. They have to play. So I'm going to find myself some kids, you know, that can play off the bench a little. That's all.
Well, again, I'm excited. I'm happy for Munoz. I'm happy for baseball season starting. I know we're going to get it rolling here in just a couple of days. You know, for all the fans out there, I hope I hope everybody is happy with the way things have gone. The only thing, you know, the one thing I've said for a while now, right, wrong, or indifferent, it's been painfully obvious that the and this is good and bad. If things work out the way we've seen them go or through spring training, I'd have to say they may be onto something here. The Cardinals were obviously in love with their young pitching to the point where they weren't willing to overextend or overpay for veteran pitching, whether that be in the bullpen or in the starting rotation. And guess what? We're going to find out. We're going to find out if they were right. I mean, we're going to find out early.
And we haven't talked about Hicks yet.
Yeah, how'd you like to be Jordan Hicks knowing you're not on the opening day roster? Again, folks, this is how it goes. We're not the only organization. All you got to do is look around baseball. I mean, listen, a guy that might be one of the best players in the league isn't breaking camp with Atlanta in Ronald Acuña. I mean, this guy, what he hit, 458? He hit 458 in spring training or something, and they sent him down.
In the Braves organization, not the Yankees. In the Braves, where they don't have anybody out there, well, I assume they do because they sent him down, but it was for the same thing. Then he might not play. But how can you not play a guy like that? I'll find him a spot. You know what I'm saying? Myself, I'll find him a damn spot to a guy like that. But those are things that happen in these days. Or business.
Well, that's the business. See, they're gonna add a year to his control. So it is. Listen, we can go on all day. But I'm telling you this. I'm looking forward to our show later in the week because we're going to have baseball.
Are we going to go? Are we going to go Facebook Live for the first couple innings?
We could.
Oh my gosh, that would be so good.
Maybe we should do that.
Yeah, maybe we get the TVs piped in here and we go a little Facebook Live, talk about the start of the season there.
Yeah, what do we got for a schedule here? What do we got here? What time? Let's see. Let's figure that out here. Let's do that right now. It's on Thursday, right?
And yeah, I think it's at like 1 o'clock.
Well, hang on. We're going to check it out here. Stennis scores. We'll let our listeners know what we're going to do here, right? All right, here we go. St. Louis Cardinals. 12:10 Central.
Yeah.
We're in. All right, so we're going to Facebook Live this puppy. Just like the Cowboys podcast does, we'll allow listeners to
call in.
Yeah, we'll get some stuff going this Thursday. This will be fun. Maybe we'll do the first hour. We'll do an hour-long show.
Yep.
12:10 to man, this is going to be fun. I'm excited. This is going to be great. So Benji, thanks to Steve and Benji for carrying the mail for me while I was gone. I want to thank all of our partners. Don't forget our friends at theinnovatedcompanies.com. Of course, Randy and Stephanie Green, 35 years experience, second generation craftsman, fully licensed, bonded, insured. I had the opportunity to watch Randy's son Mitch play baseball last week as we played against them in high school. Actually, my son didn't play, the other team did, but I mean, what a great family. They love the game of baseball, tremendous people. Thing I like most about Randy and Stephanie both is she's inherited this from his father. They're people of their word. If they tell you they're going to do something, they're going to do it. So whether it's construction, heating and cooling, or electric, they're all right underneath that innovativecompanies.com umbrella. Get them involved in the process early. They will save you time and money, and they'll get you going down the right path at an earlier time. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. That's the name you need to know, innovativecompanies.com. We appreciate them and their continued support. Of course, we want to thank m4byati.com for always bringing us Benji Molina on the celebrity line, and of course we encourage you to check out m4byati.com. Don't forget twobirdsonabat.com. It's our website. Subscribe to the show completely free. Do your shopping at Amazon. Helps us with our production costs, and of course you can listen to back episodes. Don't forget to find us on social media. That's our big request. Find us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. That's the one we're going to ask you to follow. If you're a Cardinal fan, we're going to follow you back. The big request, though, is Facebook. Facebook's a tough thing right now. They're trying to, you know, limit how many people can see. We need a lot of help there, folks. The more people that like our page, the more chance we have of getting it out to people. If you could find us, Two Birds on a Bat, simply type that in, like our Facebook page. Click invite your friends, invite all your Cardinal fans that are friends to like it. We'd appreciate it because Facebook is such an important thing. We've seen such growth thanks to our Facebook partners. Don't forget Nate McHenry, RallySquirrel.com, the great Facebook page and the guy that we partner with for the Rally Squirrel Report. Of course, right now they're currently running a free promotion for Rally Squirrel Club. It's completely free. Normally it's about the price of a cup of coffee and you can be a member of that Rally Squirrel Club. Make sure you go to RallySquirrel.com today and learn how you too can be a member of the Rally Squirrel Club. Don't forget our friend Mick Light with Arch City. It's now media, Arch City Media. They've kind of blended it all together under one umbrella over at Arch City Sports. Arch City Media, thanks to Mick Light. Check them out. Massive Facebook page that deals in all sports here in St. Louis. Our good friend Chris Lawless, Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7. He is teaming up with Team of Rivals podcast. We love those guys. We love their concept, the whole Cardinal-Cub thing. Looks like they're going to be doing an opening day podcast as well. We may have to try to hook up with those guys. We appreciate them and everything they do. Don't forget St. Louis Cardinals Fans Unite, Cardinal Freak, and of course everything STL Sports. Everything they do for us is greatly appreciated. Special thanks to lineupmedia.fm, home of Yo Radio. Make sure you check it out. They take your entertainment time very seriously, folks. And of course, our producers, Brian Crock and Andrew Allen, thank you for all you guys do for the show. I leave you now with my good friend Steve Flowers and of course Benji Molina with a Let's Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Go Birds.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.